Let's do it.
Committee on Rules is now open. It's February 7th, 2012, and it is 3:05 p.m. Welcome, everyone. And we are going to open up an informational hearing regarding late Senator Mark Hatfield. Let's see. Representatives Gilliam and Tobias Reed, if you'd come forward.
Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Committee members, I'm Tobias Reed, State Representative from District 27. We really appreciate your willingness to have this hearing and to contemplate an honor that only the legislature has the power to bestow. There are people who will testify after me who are far better qualified to describe the many contributions that Senator Hatfield made to the state and to the country. But I just want to share one very quick experience that happened for me. One of my first trips to Oregon as a something more than a casual tourist came when I was a high school senior, considering where I would go to college. And I came to Willamette across the street and noticed before long that there was a trend. There was a Mark Hatfield room. There was a Mark Hatfield library. There's a Mark Hatfield fountain. And of course, that ubiquity is not limited to the campus across the street here. Mark Hatfield is literally everywhere in the state. He lived out the motto of Willamette, non nobis salum nati sumus. I'm sure my pronunciation is atrocious, but it means not unto ourselves alone are we born. He's been a model, an inspiration for Willamette graduates ever since and for Oregonians throughout the state. There's a unique honor that we in the legislature have the opportunity to bestow. My good colleague from Silverton will describe it, and then we hope to earn your support for a bill that could lead to the honor that Representative Gilliam will describe. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. Chair Olson and Chair Kotek and entire committee, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here with my colleague. He alluded to the things that have already been named for the person who we're talking about today, and I remember it might be one of the individuals that's come today. I remember before one of the dedications, it wasn't me, but a smart aleck staffer said, why don't we just name the state Hatfield and get all this over with? But I'm not here to talk about the things that have already been named, because this is not, in my opinion, just another good idea. This isn't just a nice, appropriate tribute to a person that we know about or admire. I really think there's an opportunity here for us as a body and as a state. So it's more than just a former staffer or an alum of his alma mater, who I'm very grateful to be in cahoots with on this. But it's a way to spotlight what I think is the way, an important way that we approach government and public service in Oregon, using the person of Mark Hatfield and his career. So I've got a packet for you that will be passed out that gives you some of that background. So sure, look at that string of unbelievable campaigns. Never been broken, he never got beat. His first victim was Senator Girard's father, but that's another story. Go ahead and look at this portrait where he looks like the senator from Central Casting. But most of all, please look at his accomplishments. And I will not go through all of them. I'll give you one little slice before you have a chance to hear from some other folks who are going to give you a wonderful perspective, I believe, on the senator's career. But the slice would be this. Tom Brokaw profiled Senator Hatfield in his now pretty famous book, The Greatest Generation, because of his service to our country in World War II. But then follow that to a person who would reach across the aisle to George McGovern in an amendment to slow, if not stop, the escalation of the war in Vietnam. But keep following it to a person who would steer money, you may call it pork, but who would steer infrastructure money as chairman of the Appropriations Committee to build what is now the most incredible regional medical and research facility on the Hill that included not just Shriners Hospital and Dornbecker and the hospital and the research, but a veterans hospital. So it's a very interesting thread and a very interesting career of someone who saw his service as something for others. My story is not unique. There are a number of us who knew him, who worked for him, and I can tell you how grateful I am for it, but it is not a unique story, and you're going to hear some of those stories after we finally get done here. But here's a champion for Oregon, and here's a chance, an opportunity to carve out of stone and to set in stone in Washington, D.C., the example of what I believe a House that is 30-30 learned the last session, to show people that this is the way Oregon approaches politics, this is the way Oregon wants to show the way of a legacy that will inspire new leadership. And I hope that we'll come out and that we will convince you, as the representative said, that this is the right person for this. How you do it is outlined in a piece that we've copied for you. Each legislature, of course, has the power to direct which statutes will be in the state. But I hope you will focus on the person, and unless you have something else.
Mr. Chair, it perhaps bears a little bit of blunt explanation. I think we've spent so much time on this that we're assuming you know what we're talking about, which may not be the case. Each state has the ability to designate two statues in the U.S. Capitol. Oregon has two statues. They're Jason Lee and John McLaughlin, and we are here in an attempt to convince you that Senator Hatfield deserves that recognition to be in the U.S. Capitol as one of our two statues.
Actually, Representative Reed, I think we're the only state that has three.
Perhaps I need some correction.
You said Jason Lee, who was the other one?
John McLaughlin.
Yeah, our first governor.
Right.
Okay, I think there is one more, but I'm trying to remember who that is.
I'm not certain of this, Mr. Chair. You're probably thinking of first territorial Senator Baker is also in the Capitol. And so in a sense, if that's the one you're thinking of, in a sense, Oregon does have three representatives.
It is, yes.
But under the federal act, the two that we have selected are the ones that Representative Reed spoke of. But there is another statue that is in the Capitol commemorating Baker's life. And in a way, it's the third, and yet it's not officially the third. We've sort of snuck that one in, you might say.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
And just to clarify, it's because of the location. The two Lee and McLaughlin are in Statutory Hall. Is that, and then this other one? While there's another Oregonian. He's just not in the same place.
Correct.
Okay.
Madam Chair, one caveat to that is I believe that the architect of the Capitol, you'll see his directions in the packet you're going to get, actually places one statue in the Statuary Hall, as I understand this, and then he or she, the architect, chooses where the second one would be. So it's my understanding not all 100 statues are in the Statuary Hall,
right.
50 are, but they are both in the Capitol under this act, federal act.
Questions? Representative Winger.
Representative from the Christmas Tree District. So my question is, if you thought at all, the two of you, about which one did I miss? Which one you wanted to replace, and what would happen to that statue? Does it come back to Oregon, and have we thought about where that goes?
I've thought about it, but the key here is we're just attempting to get a start. That's why we're so grateful for this informational hearing. A bill, a copy of which from another state I have as a template for you, would form a commission. I don't expect to be on that commission. It would be part of the commission's work to figure that out. If it was up to me, I can tell you what I would do, but I think it's up to the commission.
I think I prefer the commission. Thank you.
Representative Kotek.
And
Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. So, and I appreciate, I think one of my reluctance when the both of you approached us about this topic was, how do you go about choosing? Because there's constituencies for all statues, and they might have a different idea. Who would pay for the commission's work? Would that be somehow? Where does that fall into the state world? Is that going to go to an outside entity? How would that work?
Madam Chair, I think my colleague will have more to say on this, but generally what we've seen in other states is that there are a variety of approaches, but we certainly have in mind that I think we're confident that the cost of the commission could be raised from private sources. We don't intend for this to be a cost to the state.
I concur.
Okay, so you have someone special out there.
Not just one,
former
Mr. Chair.
Congressman Elizabeth First. She's okay. Why don't you just stay there and have her come on up?
Okay.
Well, Congresswoman, how are you?
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair and co-chair of the committee. I did work with Mark Hatfield for many, many years. I've been very fortunate.
Sorry, we're going to have to ask you to introduce yourself.
I'm Elizabeth Burris, and I live in Helvetia, Oregon. Yes. And I worked with Mark Hatfield before I went to the Congress and after and during the Congress. The thing I'd like to talk about a little bit is, as a member of the Congress, I had the great honor of taking Oregonians through the Capitol. That was a great, fun thing that we used to do. And I have to say that Oregonians had absolutely no idea what our two statues, who our two statues were. Not that they weren't great people, I'm sure they were, but everyday Oregonians weren't too sure. And it seems to me that Senator Hatfield is the perfect person to be there, his statue, because he pulled Republicans and Democrats together. No other person I know of in this state has been able to gather the affection, the respect from both sides of the aisle. And why that might be important in this issue is that members of the United States Senate will be extremely interested in seeing their colleague, their beloved colleague, statue there. And Oregonians, I believe, will feel, we're at home. We know this person. This person represents Oregon in a most profound way. And as a former member, I would say that will be a pleasure for members on both sides of the aisle to take Oregonians through and see our beloved senator standing there representing the values of Oregon. I think that he did more than anyone I can imagine represent the values of Oregon. Not all of us agreed with him on everything, but he was willing to listen and he was willing to act. And I think he represents something for those people who make it over from Oregon to the Capitol, and they want to see a representation of their state. And I think this statue would do that in a most profound and meaningful way for Oregonians, and certainly would be for me. I think he deserves to be there.
Okay. Members, any questions? All right. Well, thank you very much. Appreciate you bringing this forward.
Oh. And Mr. Chair, we have two other excellent testifiers in the room. Dr. Jerry Hudson, the former president of Willamette University and now the president of the Oregon Historical Society. If you have a list, I don't have the agenda in front of me.
I do not have a list, but I'm glad that you brought that up.
And Rick Rolfe is also a former staff member and press secretary to Senator Hatfield and policy advisor on international issues. And I hope that you'll afford them a moment as well, because I think
absolutely.
You'll enjoy their
speech. Absolutely. If you want to have them come on up, then.
Thank you.
Welcome to Rules.
Thank you. My name is Jerry Hudson. As was mentioned, I'm currently president of the Oregon Historical Society, though today I do not come representing the Oregon Historical Society, primarily because we haven't had a meeting since December, and so I'm doing this unofficially. I also had the honor of serving as president of Willamette University for 17 years, and yet again, I'm not representing Willamette University, though my guess is they would feel strongly, as I do, about what I'm about to say. Instead, I come as a private citizen and as a professional historian to urge you to honor Mark Hatfield for his half century of dedicated service to our state. The commission that has been mentioned would have the opportunity to first seek a replacement, as a number of states have done. Congress passed a law in the year 2000 to allow states to take advantage of the outstanding accomplishments of people in the 20th century and to change the honor that they have had, since they have been limited to two per state. Among those changes is California, where one of the two statues in California was a Unitarian minister from the Civil War who had an important role in keeping California in the Union. But the citizens of California, through the legislature, decided that they'd like to have a statue of Ronald Reagan in the Statuary Hall. And so that change was made, much in the same manner that we're talking about here. Since 1953, the two Oregonians that have been mentioned, Jason Lee and John McLaughlin, have been honored as Oregon's representative. There are good reasons why those two individuals were chosen, though both of them come from the same time period almost, and both of them from the very earliest days of the Oregon Territory and prior to Oregon being a state. I ask you to consider establishing this commission to, and while I have no favorites among which of the two should not be removed, I think in one sense I would say that I'm absolutely delighted that Jason Lee was here, because he founded the Oregon Institute that became Willamette University. But on the other hand, he was in our area of the world only about 5 years. He came as a Methodist missionary to the Indians. He stopped here in Salem, established a mission point, as so many missionaries have done, spent much of his time going back raising money to keep the mission alive. So he was here for 4 years, back east for 4 years, came back in 1842, established what was Willamette University eventually, and then went back east to raise more money, got sick back there, moved to his home, which was in Canada, and died in 1845. So he had about 5 years in, I can't say it's a state, because it was long before we were a state. In any case, one possibility would indeed be to bring Jason Lee back to Salem. There is, on the grounds of this Capitol, a replica of the statue that's in Washington, D.C., in the Capitol. It's the same statue. So we would not need to bring it back to the Capitol here, but there are certainly other places, such as his home, which is in the former Mission Mill location, or certainly Willamette University, where he would be honored as the founder of the school. But I don't want to discuss which of the two the commission would decide to recommend. But I think the positive side of it is that we have many examples of outstanding public servants who have been recognized in this Hall of Statuary. In the 19th century, the great senators of the United States are represented there: Daniel Webster, John C. Calhoun, Henry Clay, by their various states. And then, interestingly enough, in the 20th century, some of the outstanding senators, some closer to us than those gentlemen, but Senator William Borah, Idaho senator from 1907 to 1940, Senator Patrick McCarran, who was senator from Nevada from 1932 to 54, Senator Robert La Follette from Wisconsin. So individuals who did an outstanding job for their states and for the country, recognized by the state, and have a place in the hall. Senator Hatfield served this state for half a century, served 30 years in the United States Senate from 1967 to 97. I think his principled bipartisan approach to government earned him the respect of citizens of this state, his colleagues in the U.S. Senate, and the list is innumerable of the things that he's done for this state. I appreciate both of the two whose statue we represented, but as was mentioned, that's a long time ago, and we've had such outstanding achievements since then that it seems appropriate to ask, as the Congress has provided, for a substitute to continue to honor outstanding citizens. And so I urge you to be supportive of the establishment of a commission that would indeed raise the funds, hire a sculptor, get the sculpture done and placed in the Hall of Statuary in Congress. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank the committee for this opportunity to speak or share my thoughts about Senator Hatfield. My name is Rick Rolfe. I live in Portland. I work at the Bonneville Power Administration as the senior policy advisor there. I was Senator Hatfield's director of policy and communications for over a decade, as well as his chief campaign strategist in his last two campaigns. So I knew him at a lot of different levels, both at the policy level and the raw political level. I went to work for him as an unpaid intern when I was 22 years old. I got an assignment right away to help him overthrow the butcher of Kampala, Idi Amin, who was a genocidal person, and we sought to cut off all of his coffee purchases from American coffee companies, and I had the honor to staff that. We ended up winning it, but I learned a lot of political lessons at the time. We had a bill that everywhere you had the word shall, in other words, it was a binding resolution, and somebody would come in with a substitute amendment that would substitute should. And in other words, do just enough to get the headline to make it appear like you're doing something without actually doing it. And I'll never forget that lesson. I'll never forget him turning to me, arching his eyebrow as I am unable to do, saying, "They didn't teach you that in political science 101, did they?" As I said, I went through many, many different kinds of things with him. I was on the Senate floor with him when he did one of the last, if not the last, real filibusters in the Mr. Smith goes to Washington kind of way to try to stop draft registration. And, you know, when you went to work for Senator Hatfield, nobody asked you what party you were affiliated with. You were never asked. Nobody. They didn't care. He cared what your values were. He cared about, if you cared about curing disease, feeding hungry people, stopping war, that's what he cared about, not which party you came from. It was completely irrelevant to him. And I just want to point out that in the high-stakes political theater in which he operated, and it's pretty hard to imagine, when you're the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, it doesn't get much more serious than that in Washington, D.C. And one of the most fascinating things to me is that in all the discussions I was in, all the political discussions over tough issues, where typically I know that a lot of political advisors would be there and they'd be saying, "Well, you know, we can't do it right now. We can't make that senator mad. Let's just wait until the election is over." Or any number of reasons that would prevent you from doing the right thing. That never happened. Ever. This is remarkable at the level at which he operated. And if I had a dollar for every person that walked up to me during that debt ceiling debacle and said, God, I wish Mark Hatfield were here. I'd have a lot of money. And so the point I want to get to is Mark Hatfield is gone now, but he, in this world of abject cynicism and dispirited perceptions of our institutions, our politicians, and our leaders, he is an idea. He's an idea that it can be done differently, and it can be done well. And that's why he needs to be here. And I would hope as well that if you do have a statue of him, that you might use some words from him, because so many of them are so inspiring, and ones that I would quote from just here to finish up, is that his idea is what he said himself. Define your own spiritual commitment. Energize your conscience. Use loving spirituality to infuse your personal, public, and political acts. Take advantage of spiritual stewardship when dealing with political issues such as the environment, the needs of humans, and the dangers of war. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Any questions? Yes, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. You know, I did not have the opportunity to really spend much time with Senator Hatfield, met him infrequently. I'm always impressed by the folks who come and testify, so thank you for being here today, because I think, you know, obviously this is coming from the heart, and you really respected his legacy and who he was. About the commission, is it Dr. Hudson, Mr.
Yes.
Hudson? Dr. Hudson? Are you at all familiar with the process by which they chose Lee and McLaughlin back in the 50s?
No, it was 1953, and so I
just didn't know if that had come up in your research at all.
No. I have looked into the process since the 2000 law that allowed substitutes, and there is a Library of Congress committee that reviews the request for by states for substitutions. But to my knowledge, in all cases, they have honored the legislature of the state that has asked for the change. And there's been a multitude of reasons given for changes that were made, some perhaps to honor someone who was not early enough to be in the first consideration, sometimes in the realization of increased knowledge that's come about the contributions of individuals. A number of states have used have come through with more roles for women than were true when it was first done. They've also, there are a number of Native Americans that have been recognized by states for the role they've played. So that's about all I know about it.
I would add that the Library of Congress has a very high opinion of the senator as well. Not only did he love books and history, he gave them a lot of money.
Yeah.
Always good to know. I mean, just a brief follow-up. I think, you know, if we were to go forward with some kind of group, you know, I think what's critical is having a, you know, good open process. I mean, you know, given the support for the senator that I've seen just in his recent passing, is he'd probably have a good shot at it. I guess the question I would have is, do we want to look at Lee and McLaughlin together? You know, do we want to look at more diversity? I mean, I just think there are a lot of questions that I think the general public would have, but it'd be a very interesting public conversation to have to see what we, you know, because since we haven't had one since 1953,
right.
Maybe it's time for one. So. So I'll be curious to hear feedback from our colleagues about how we want to proceed on this topic. So.
Okay. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We're going to close the public informational hearing on this issue. And colleagues, you have in front of you an LC draft. Mm-hmm. It's 311. There needs to be a couple of little fixes to it, and we're going to get that changed.
Mr. Chair, is that shall versus should?
Affirmative. Exactly, Representative Garrett.
Less
so. Anyways, you'll get a chance to have that in front of you Thursday when we meet. So, okay, with that, we are adjourned.